Welcome to our Bible study segment, and we've got Beth Seifert here with today's Bible lesson. And remember, all of these segments are recorded and saved, archived in our Bible studies archives. You can download the study guides that go with each one of these and have your own Bible study with your ladies around your own kitchen table. And we just welcome Beth Seifert. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hello, Amy. Well, today we're going to jump back into 2 Samuel, and today we get to see one of my favorite stories of David. We get to see a little bit more of David's character and the things that he really did consider important and how he fulfills those promises that he's made. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel. We'll be reading in chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. And David said, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, at Lodabar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for such a dead dog as I?" Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him, and shall bring in the produce, that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. Okay, well, we remember how much that David loved his friend Jonathan. Now we see that David also remembered the promise that he made to Jonathan. He loved him so much that now, as David is king and is able to, he wants to show kindness to anyone left in Saul's house. He doesn't know if any are still alive from Saul's lineage, but he wants to find out. David's slowness in seeking out an heir of Saul's house wasn't from a desire to be neglectful, but from the necessary demands that had to be dealt with ahead of this. We just read last chapter of all the wars and battles that were fought, and those take time. They aren't over in a day. So David was dealing with what had to be dealt with first, and now he is able to consider this and seek out a descendant of Saul. This appears to be a long time after Saul's death. Saul did have other descendants, but Ziba only mentions the one that David would be chiefly interested in. But Mephibosheth was only 5 years old when Saul died. Now, Mephibosheth has a son of his own. One of Saul's former servants is around, and they call him in. He finds out that there is one of Saul's descendants left, who has been living in obscurity and is also crippled. Can you imagine being Mephibosheth at this point? Can you imagine what's going on in his mind? I'd have been terrified. Mephibosheth can't even fight back or run away if David decides to kill him. So Mephibosheth is brought to David. Remember, he can't get there himself. He's crippled. And when he arrives, David's excited to see the son of Jonathan. David can tell that Mephibosheth is afraid of him, so he assures him that he means him no harm, but only to show him kindness on account of Jonathan. He restores to Mephibosheth the land that once belonged to his grandfather. So Mephibosheth is no longer in obscurity, but now he has land that can be worked and he can prosper. David also welcomes Mephibosheth to live with him at the palace for as long as he wants to be there. He gives him his own apartments within the palace and happily provides for Mephibosheth, delighted to be able to bless this man because of his friendship with Jonathan. Basically, David is extending the friendship that he had with Jonathan to Mephibosheth and showing how much he treasured Jonathan by this invitation. Mephibosheth is humbled. He knows that his family was rejected by God. He knows that he himself has absolutely nothing to offer David. He's crippled and he can't support himself. And again, we see David's generosity here. He could have said, "Here, you can have half of what was Saul's." He even could have said, "Here, you can come out of a hiding. I won't kill you, but you go find your own place to live." But instead, he says, "Here's what's yours. Take it." His focus isn't on wealth except to prosper God's plans and to provide for God's people. David makes sure that the land will also be cultivated and cared for the benefit of Mephibosheth's family. Mephibosheth will be eating with the king, but David provides for his further flung relatives in this provision. And Ziba has 15 sons and 20 servants, plenty enough to take care of the land that Mephibosheth has just inherited. David wasn't ashamed or embarrassed to have this crippled man at table with him. He welcomed him. Okay, take a step back and look at this scene. Because the truth is, David is a Christ type here. David takes in this crippled man who can do nothing for him, absolutely nothing. And Christ came and sought us out and took us in, and we didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. And we could give him nothing in return. Also, Christ provided the bread of life for us. He set a table for us. We have nothing to bring to Christ to make it worth the deal. We're the ones who are wretched and debased, and yet Christ showed his love for us in dying for us while we were still his enemies. Mephibosheth thinks he's being brought before someone who is his enemy. But David shows his love for Jonathan and by proxy Mephibosheth before he even knew Mephibosheth. Jesus also surrounded himself with the despised and the rejected people of the world. And David, sitting in his palace, welcomes this crippled man to his table every single day without shame. So my questions for us today are about that. Do you do that? Do I do that? Do I show kindness simply because God wants me to? Do I honor my promises to this extent? David could have restored Mephibosheth's land and called it good. That would have been a keeping of his promise. But that wasn't enough for David. It wasn't about the letter of the promise. It was about the spirit of it. He did more than the bare minimum. He went over the top. He gave the very best to Mephibosheth, a place at his table. He invited him to live with the king. When we are called on to do good to others, no matter their relationship to us, do we give the best, our first fruits, or do we give the leftovers? Which do you think that pleases God more? In the end, that should be our main consideration, to do what pleases God. We all have our own worlds that we all have to provide for. We have to be good stewards of what we have, but if you're called on to help a neighbor and you have the ability to help, why are we so hesitant to provide that? There will be times when God calls you to bring just a can of peas, and there are going to be other times when God calls you to bring a four-course dinner to a family who needs it. Do you do that with a cheerful heart? Do you give generously? Or do you look around and think, what are the leftovers that I can give to these people? Oh, be thankful that Christ didn't do that. Be thankful that he looked on you and said, "I'm going to give them the best that I have. I'm going to give them me because they can't do it on their own. And I'm going to save them for my purpose and for my glory, that they would be my people." Give praise to God today and consider where your heart is when you are asked to give.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.